Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to the Dudes on Hockey podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, I freaking hate fantasy football. I'm dying.
Dude, right this now. Is why I don't play. I just play fantasy hockey.
But, and to say that you play fantasy hockey is taking the term pretty loose.
I know.
Because
we're getting crushed at fantasy hockey.
You love the draft.
I do.
And then after that, you disappear.
Hey, I like to be consulted on trades and other waiver wire pickups.
Hey, that top selection of Alex Semmons looking pretty damn good right now, dude.
Okay. No?
No.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Didn't think
But I think our strategy of drafting Henrik Lundqvist on his 9-game odyssey around the world before he goes back, the Rangers, oh boy.
They're terrible.
Boy, oh boy.
Oh,
they
man.
Are off to a really brutal start. Really brutal. And, you know, do I think that team's going to be bad the whole year? No. But they're digging themselves a mighty hole right now in a pretty competitive
division. Yeah.
Lucky for them, the Flyers are just as bad.
Oh, God, they're at least as bad. Oh, mercy.
Well, we've got a big day today.
Yeah, we do.
We have had two interview requests on the same day from different podcasts. So we're waiting right now before our first interview request happens in a little bit. And then we're going to be going live, dude. This is a first for us, appearing on someone else's show.
I know. How bad do you think it's going to go on a scale from 1 to 10?
A 12. First thing was like, when they wrote to us, I was like, have they listened to the podcast? And then the second thing I thought was, well, have they listened to the podcast? Because they know we're not going to shut up. We're just going to yammer.
We're just
going to
keep talking and just shut them out. We're going to do the full court press.
Well, the first is a blues podcast.
Yes.
We'll get it right.
The League?
No, dude.
That's the other one?
No.
See, this is bad. This is bad. I already don't know what we're doing. I'm supposed to be scheduling this. I'm supposed to be putting this all together. I'm doing a terrible, terrible job.
We are doing a terrible job of... I was going to say the Broad Street Bullies. It's not. The Bash Brothers podcast.
You think they're Oakland A's fans?
I don't know. That's a good question.
They love Mark McGuire and Jose Canseco?
They're a St. Louis Blues podcast, dude.
Right.
And then the second one is the Pens Initiative.
Right.
So I would certainly encourage our listeners to go take a listen to their podcast this week and... Only to hear us.
And then never listen to them ever again. Please. Of course not.
Oh, dude.
No, if you can find a good podcast, you just stick with it. We actually had a tweet from an Anaheim Ducks fan a few days ago saying, I really hate the Sharks, but I have to admit that Dudes on Hockey is a really good podcast.
That's a compliment.
It is. And then I tweeted back and I said, it could be worse. We could be a Kings podcast. And he said, you're right. It could be.
It could be worse.
Could be the Kings.
We've heard from listeners from other teams all the time.
Yeah, it's true.
But dude, let's talk about our team since we're here actually for the second time in a week.
I know.
So all of you who are complaining to us for not recording often enough, you can take this podcast and shove it.
Shut your pie hole.
Shut it. We're here. Another whooping in Vancouver, and then probably the best competitive effort that we've gotten from another team last night against Ottawa, dude. Let's talk about the Vancouver game first. What do you think?
Vancouver's bad. They're just not that good.
But yeah, I guess. I mean, they have beaten other teams. So,
yeah,
I guess that means those like Edmonton and Calgary are even worse. I guess, and I would agree with that.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
it's just one of those things. We're talking to the Blues guys in a few minutes. We'll probably end up mentioning this, but do we just have Vancouver's number? Like the Blues have had our number? Because that's been the case. I mean, what have we beat? Vancouver 10 straight times or something?
It's more than that. I think it's 12.
Yeah.
Matt D'Agostini.
We just have their number at this point.
Yeah, we own them.
We own
the them. Shiver comes over there over their house when we come into town. It doesn't matter. They're here. I think the Sharks think they can beat them at any point. And now both the games this year in the regular season, they just haven't been close. Like, they've been beatdowns.
Yeah, they've been outclassed.
They've been beatdowns. And do I feel bad?
No.
No, no. I really love it.
Yes.
I don't know why I just don't dislike that team as much as I normally do. Maybe it's because they're not good. I've sort of shifted my dislike towards other teams, but I almost just don't care about them. I feel like Vancouver, and I know it's so early, but I felt this way before the season even started, that this was an implosion waiting to happen up there, and that they're just kind of not relative anymore. In terms of in the path on the way to a cup, there are three other teams that are much more important.
Yeah.
To get past.
Oh, yeah.
And that's LA, Chicago, and St. Louis. And I wouldn't even put Vancouver close in that conversation.
It's true. Absolutely true.
What do you think of the Edler hit on Hurdle that got him a 3-game suspension?
I thought it was basically the same kind of hit that Brad Stewart put on. We've had this discussion a few times over the years. And I think I don't mind the sentiment, which is don't hit other guys in the head. It's just that simple, right? Don't hit him in the head.
Right.
Or at least don't mainly hit him in the head, which is now what the new rule is. It used to be the head had to be both the main point of contact and targeted, and they've taken out the targeted part. So now you can just get suspended if it's the main point of contact, which seems to be the case for both the Edler hit and the Brad Stewart hit on Rick Nash. I have no problem with either suspension. That being said, Hurdle was hit last night in Ottawa. Basically left a garage sale on the ice, left all of his gear on the ice and skated off. And I didn't have the opportunity to view a replay, but from what others have said on Twitter and things, is the kid's got to learn to keep his head up. Now, to me, that's two different things. One is you got to learn to keep your head up, and two, you got to not hit people in the head.
Right. No, it's totally different. And the hits are separate. You know, I think MacArthur's was a hockey hit and Edler could have stopped.
Right.
He made a decision to hit Hurdle in the head. The other thing that Hurdle's got to realize is, one, keep your head up, and two, is you're not an unknown guy anymore.
Right.
And everybody is talking about you. I think the lead question for both the interviews we're going to do today is going to be Thomas Hurdle.
Of course.
And you know what I'm going to say?
What?
Who? Who's that?
Wait.
I don't know who that is.
Matt Nieto?
I'd like to talk about Taylor Doherty. Yeah, he scored again last night, and then all of a sudden they're going to target him. I mean, the game plan is going to be try and throw him off his game. I mean, so he shouldn't be surprised that he's going to be drawing a lot of attention now.
Right,
he's not unknown, and he's been pretty consistent over the first five games.
Right.
That I mean, he's scored in four of them.
Yeah,
so, it's not looking like a super big fluke. I mean, like, this looks like with Thornton and Burns, he's very productive. Now, let me ask you this with the Edler hit. If he had done this instead, if he had done a purple nurple instead of a headshot, suspendable?
I'm going to say no on the purple nurple.
How about a Juicy Lucy?
I don't know what that is.
That's a hamburger with cheese inside of it.
Oh, okay.
If he walked up to Hurdle and said, Juicy Lucy? Suspendable?
I'm going to say yes, that is, just because I just don't like that name.
All right.
but I think, you know, the point is taken, is that even if you get hit with a legal hit, you can still get hurt in this league.
Sure. Right?
If you get hit and you're blindsided and you're not paying attention and it's not a headshot, you can actually still get a concussion because of the impact of that much weight behind somebody that's skating at you at the speeds possible on the ice. So, okay, don't hit people in the head, Edler, but Hurdle's got to be aware of his surroundings. He's got to be aware of his surroundings. And as you said, now guys are going to try and take a piece of him. I'm sure you know, we'll talk about the controversy of the fourth goal, which seemed to sort of flare up after we recorded the last podcast. And certainly Joe's, well, we talked a little bit about it, but also Joe's comments hadn't surfaced yet.
What do you mean? What did Joe say?
I can't remember exactly. I can't remember exactly what he said. Not quite sure. This is the best. This is the best. That's the best comment ever.
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about it now?
Yeah, might as well. So I guess they were in Vancouver and they were talking to Patrick Marleau, and the story at the time, especially after Adam Oates' comments, were that Hurdle was showing up the league. He was disrespecting the league, which caused, I think, rightly so, a fairly universal backlash. It's just get a life, you know, loosen up. It's not that big of a deal. Disrespecting the league.
Yeah, Oates should be more worried about his own really crappy team.
Yeah.
They are terrible.
Yes.
They are terrible.
Yeah.
So bad. So why don't you focus on your own team,
right,
instead of this kid who's just having a good time.
This faux outrage, I think.
Stupid.
I would call it.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they were talking to Patrick Marleau about that. And then in the background, Joe Thornton said, you know, have you ever played the game? And then he said, you know, if I scored four goals, I'd whip my out and stroke it or something like that, which is an awesome quote of the year candidate for sure. And
so
then,
but that's the point. Is it a quote, or is that a locker room joke that should not have been published?
See, you know, this is a really difficult question for me to answer because I didn't go to journalism school. I'm not in the locker room every day. I don't know what the etiquette is or the ethics is of this. To me, at face value, if you're in a room with 30 reporters, anything you say is on the record. Unless you say immediately prior to that, this is off the record.
Now, let me throw something in here before you continue.
Okay.
After they finished with Marleau and it became Thornton's turn,
mm-hmm,
someone asked him if he wanted to repeat that comment,
mm-hmm,
on the record. And he said, no.
Right. So I guess the implication is that everything you said is off the record until you get permission now? Is that the way this works? You see, this is what I mean by saying I'm not sure. Like, I don't know what... I mean, if this is like, you know, nuclear war and terrorism and high stakes in terms of politics and world news, then maybe my initial reaction is the right one, which is you say something to me in the presence of a reporter, and I'm not a reporter, but if, let's say I were, just for fun, anything you say to me is on the record. I'm going to report it unless you say it's not. So, but you know, hockey is a little bit looser. It's not nuclear launch codes. It's entertainment here. So I guess maybe they have a little bit more latitude in terms of what the players can say. And maybe they're more used to being more candid in the locker room unless they have the scrum of reporters directly standing in front of them.
I've only really heard the other side of it, where most people, including USA Today's Kevin Allen, said basically, shame on you, to the reporter.
Oh, yeah.
For reporting that. He said that was not... He said, I've heard stuff like this in,
right,
a locker room a million times.
Right.
And this is not intended to be a publishable statement.
Right.
We are guests in their house, and they should be able to make a joke or talk to each other and not have us eavesdropping on every little conversation and reporting every word. So that's just common practice.
Right. And if it is common practice and those are the rules that are agreed upon by all parties, then I completely agree with that the rules were broken in this case. You shouldn't report that, because only under those rules are the players agreeing to do this kind of stuff. And I'm sure if Joe thought everything I say could be reported, then he would never have even said that.
Right.
Even outside the scrum of reporters.
Well, this is not the same thing. All right. But I'm going to make two comparisons here that relate to us.
Okay.
When we met Dan Boyle.
Yeah.
All right. We had a conversation with him for about 10, 15 minutes, right?
Right. We did.
And some of the stuff we shared on the podcast and some of the stuff we didn't.
That's true.
You know, he made a few jokes during that conversation and a few comments that I don't think was what he would want everybody to hear.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
And I think common sense
told
us that that's a private moment. That's someone speaking to you, strangers, with some degree of trust.
Mm-hmm.
And that this doesn't leave the conversation. It wasn't anything earth-shattering, listeners, by the way.
Yeah, believe me,
But still.
I think he liked Orange Crush better than Fanta. I think that's what it was.
And we've also been told some off-the-record information about Sharks News in the past that we've kept to ourselves.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
Because we were told, don't share this, but hear this, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think you have to have, like, so this reporter in Vancouver, someone says anything to him, you know, Joe Thornton walks by and he farts. Joe Thornton farted. He farted loudly in the locker room. It was loud. He clearly needs a dietary adjustment.
Right.
I mean, it's just anything goes.
I guess in this case, it doesn't. And like I said, I think that the severity or the import of the subject matter, I think, has to factor in. If you're talking to President Obama and President Obama, you know, states that he's going to bomb Cuba next week in passing, I think that's something you report, unless he is saying it's off the record specifically. So
what if he says JK afterwards? JK, JK, LOL.
Then JK, you know.
LOL.
But this is, you know, and you suffer the professional consequences with that and under those circumstances. But and it seems like this reporter in Vancouver may suffer some professional consequences.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard people say he should be fired for what he reported.
Right. So, you know, I think you got to take, you know, the rules or the ground rules of the game, which I think certainly seem to indicate that it should not have been reported. And you also take in the rules of the game. This is not the most important thing on earth, and this is not life and death.
It was hilarious, and Jumbo doesn't seem to care.
I'm glad he doesn't, because, you know, Wyshynski and everybody else on earth seem to take this is not a big deal. This is a guy saying a guy thing in a locker room, and it's funny as hell, which is awesome.
Yeah, it's so interesting to hear people frame it in different ways based on their audience. You know, of course, with Puck Daddy, you know, that's a younger audience, that's a hipper audience, you know, and of course, they write kind of, you know, borderline
off-color stuff
all the time, and it's funny, right? But then you know, hear more reputable, you know,
right,
hockey reporters say, you know, on Hockey Central, to say, you know, Joe Thornton's comments were offensive and off-color, racy, what he said.
Yeah, were there people that actually said that? Because I didn't hear anybody that say that.
Yeah, no, on Hockey Central, that's
really,
they weren't saying that. That wasn't an opinion, but that was how he introduced the segment.
Oh, okay, I see.
And it was like, it was just so serious about it. Well, he made it's referring to a private area. This is a something.
His beans and Frank, if you will.
Oh, geez, dude. Well, anyways.
It was a fun controversy, and the thing that I liked about it is, one, you know, you like to see the human side of these players, because you know they get burned sometimes when they're being candid and honest with reporters, and this unfortunately may be another thing to add to that pile. But the other thing I really like is he's trying to stand up for his boy Tomas Hertl, and he's trying to take some of the heat off of that kid. That kid's took some heat, obviously, from Adam Oates and other people. Everybody in the league seemed to be asked this question at least 10 times in the last week, and Joe Thornton's like, dude, if this happened to me, I would be so excited. And Joe Thornton obviously is a very accomplished and well-respected player in the NHL. So basically what he's telling these reporters is, get over it, get off it. It's not a big deal. Talk about something else. And I appreciate that from the captain.
And they did.
And they did. He gave him something else to talk about, that's for sure.
Let's talk about the game last night, which, you know, I think I read on Twitter, some people say they thought it was the worst Sharks performance of the year. And I don't agree with that. I think they actually played a team that kind of had their act together.
Yeah.
And the thing that I loved about the game last night is all three of those goals were right in front of the crease.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They were not, you know, shot from several feet away. You know, they were up close and personal. That Burns goal where he was just going to basically take the entire net off with how hard. That was, I mean, I don't remember seeing many shots that hard, that close.
He just bashed it in.
He just bashed it in.
Yeah.
Bashed it in. Marlowe's goal, close. Mm-hmm. Hurdle's goal, close. From what I mean by close, around the net. And it was like the fourth game this year that they've had 45-plus shots.
I know. It's insane.
It's insane.
And I know Myrtle tweeted last night. He said, you know, the Sharks obviously have been dominant in possession stats this season, but Ottawa's been number five in the NHL, and they gave up 50.
Yeah.
You know, it's a pretty dominating performance as far as that goes.
And Ottawa got, you know, the first goal was like a little fluky, you know, and then they got a power play goal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the Sharks, for the rest of the game, they controlled it. It's
Ottawa's a good team.
Ottawa is a good team.
They're a good team.
And you know, they have a couple new pieces, and we didn't see Craig Anderson.
Right.
But
Lehner played well.
Lehner played well. He played very well.
I think he saved two breakaways. That's the other thing. The Sharks are getting a lot more odd man rushes and breakaways this year. Is this just a weird fluke,
no,
or is this a way?
It's a faster team.
Or do you think it's the way that they're playing? Are they flying the zone and hanging a guy out at the far blue line to try and get that stretch pass?
They're playing like they're confident. I mean, and yeah. I think that's the difference. Is they're not playing to make mistakes. This team now is playing like they believe that they are the best team, and you know what? We're going to take some chances and.
Yeah,
we're gonna score, and we kind of dare you to stop us. And that's this. It there's just kind of a little bit of like a confident arrogance, a little bit that I would say is appropriate right now to how they're playing. I mean, how good that top line was last night. The Ottawa just couldn't do anything.
That first minute of the game before Hurdle's goal. Was one of the more dominant minutes of hockey I've ever seen.
Almost
literally. It's like every puck went to the corner. They would outmuscle the guy or beat the guy to the puck to the point, shot, rebound, shot, save, back to the point, shot, pass across the box, shot. It was insane how dominant that was. There was no point at which Ottawa looked like they had any chance. Yeah.
And there were a couple shifts like that.
Yeah.
I want to talk about Scott Hannon.
Yeah. Okay.
Scott Hannon, at the end of the game, that last minute where he got into it with Chris Neal.
Yep. Yep.
And he was on the ice at the end. I mean, they're playing Scott Hannon at the end of the game. The guy was a beast last night. I mean, he was very good. And the way he's playing so far, it's going to be hard to ask him to sit down. So I guess my question to you is, when Brad Stewart is back from suspension, which will be in one more game, right? No, he's done, right? Is he done?
It was one more game. He got three games. So
and he hit.
So it was
Nash.
Vancouver. It was Vancouver,
yeah.
And then Ottawa,
so
and then it'll be
gonna
the Blues.
He's going to miss a St. Louis game. Does Stewart automatically get to play?
I don't. That's a tough question to answer.
Let's say the team is 6-0. Let's say we beat St. Louis, okay? We go to St. Louis and we beat them.
Are you asking me what the Sharks will do, or are you asking me what I think they should do?
Both.
I think the Sharks would put him back in. I think the Sharks should not, if Hannon continues to play as well as he's been playing.
I agree. I agree with you. I agree with both statements, actually. I think that they will put Stewart back in, but they shouldn't. I mean, you know, if it's working... And Stewart's been hurt.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And he played about 3 minutes before he committed a suspendable offense. I still think Brad Stewart's an important part of the success of this team this season. But right now, I mean, you got to kind of ride the hot hand a little bit.
I think so. Well, dude, we got to talk to the Blues guys here in a minute. So are we going to suspend and come back?
Yeah, we'll come back. So
you got your Derek Roy questions already, dude?
Just get the sound effect of a toilet flushing on Derek Roy. All right, here we go.
I don't think they'd appreciate it if we like started pumping sound effects into them. That would be funny, though.
I don't really care what they appreciate, dude.
All right, we'll be back in a minute. Dude, we did it. We were on other podcasts.
We are officially in demand.
Okay. At least today.
Dude, yeah. What a day. What a day. A landmark day for Dudes on Hockey.
It is. And we'll certainly put, we were on the Pens Initiative, I think the podcast was
Pens
called
Initiative
the League.
And yes, it's a podcast called The League. And then we always mess this one up.
The Bash Brothers?
Yeah, the Bash Brothers podcast. It's a St. Louis Blues podcast, and they're all outstanding guys talking to them, both about podcasts with duos.
Yeah.
So it was some fun, friendly banter, and we would encourage everyone to go out and take a listen and check it out.
Yeah, check it out. Talk about some other stuff. And certainly, of course, I know you've told all your friends about our podcast because we do such a fantastic job of promoting it. I was actually in a store yesterday, and I was talking to a guy, and I was wearing my Torres shirt. And he's like, oh, yeah, Rafi Torres. He knew a lot about hockey and stuff, and we were talking about things. And I'm like, yeah, it's really too bad that Torres is, you know, not coming back for a while and all this kind of stuff. And then my wife pipes up. She's like, you know, he has a hockey podcast, right? And I'm like, okay, do we need to talk about this? And she's like, yeah.
She's proud of you, dude.
She is. And the guy was like really excited. Like the guy was like, oh, wow, really? And he like wrote, he like tore off a piece of paper and like wrote down the URL and
dude,
all this
that's
kind of stuff.
How, and that. There's another listener.
Another listener who's going to listen to us one time. And
27
stop.
Listeners.
Yeah. 28 with this guy.
28, dude. This is a big week coming up for the Sharks. They've got, you know, a huge game against St. Louis. And then they've got to go to Dallas, which is not historically a great place for the Sharks to travel to. And this is a totally different team. And, you know, I think they've been kind of up and down so far, but... you know, I'm sure Lindy Ruff will get that figured out. And, you know, I'm not chalking that up as being easy. And then a home game against the mysterious Calgary Flames.
Yeah.
Which, you know, this team has not lost, I don't think, a game yet. Or did they lose last night?
I think they've lost in overtime.
So, yeah, they lost to Vancouver in overtime. But somehow, by some voodoo, Brian Burke has sold his soul to the Hockey Devils again. And the Calgary Flames are temporarily good, but certainly in San Jose, I don't expect that to be
that
too
to continue.
Much of a challenge, right? But the game on Tuesday, the one against St. Louis, that's huge.
I mean, that's the game.
That is huge. It's and you know, I think we've been pretty much been able to keep this start in perspective, although I had a moment the other day and you talked me down a little bit where I said, dude, this seems different. I'm feeling it. I feel like it's going to happen. And you're like,
this is the year,
dude. You're like, dude, calm down. So I have been able to calm down a little bit, but I am very interested to see how the Sharks stack up with a team that we know is good. And we know St. Louis is good.
Right.
And we know they've given us problems. This group of players has given us problems. And there are some players that have been added to this team that historically have given us problems, like Maxim LaPierre and Brendan Morrow. You know, these are not the players that Sharks over history have had great encounters with.
Yeah.
How will the Sharks deal with not only the skill and the style of Hitchcock's Blues, but also really, I mean, the Blues are physical and they don't make a lot of mistakes. They're tough. And I don't know if the Sharks have totally encountered that yet.
Right. The one thing I'm really interested in is, you know, we talked earlier in the show about how dominant the first line has been. I think a big key to that game will be if that first line can stay as effective as they've been, I can see the Sharks winning that game. But if the Blues suddenly turn Joe Thornton, if they do, you know, the nice thing about the Sharks this year is they've kept Joe on the third, Joe Pavelski on the third line. You know, they have two scoring lines, even if you key against a specific line to shut down. And it seems like at least the Sharks have been using the Couture line to go the power versus power and giving the Jumbo line a little bit more latitude to try and score against maybe some slightly inferior competition than they're used to. And the question is, okay, if they shut down, if they put Backes up against Joe Thornton, for instance, does that mean the Couture line can score? Or if they play along and we see Couture and Marleau against Backes, I want to see the Jumbo line be very, very good.
Yeah, let's not forget about that third line, too. That's been pretty important so far with Nieto and Wingles and Pavelski. I mean, that's the key, and right? And that's where the Sharks lost it last year after their 7-0 start was once the well dried up, right?
Yeah.
With the scoring from Marleau's incredible start. She's off to a pretty darn good start again, actually.
Yep.
Contract year. But if they're able to stop even this top two lines, can the Pavelski line exploit a matchup?
Right.
But this can be hard. I mean, yeah. The Blues are deep defensively. They're deep in their forward top 12. And they have a very streaky goaltender that when he's good, he's great.
Yeah.
And that's not much of a goalie tandem anymore. Yeah. Halak has played every game.
That's right.
So they're going. I mean, it looks like the Brian Elliott mirage has finally
evaporated,
right?
Yeah.
Where he looked like the Venetian of goaltenders.
Yeah. And then, yeah.
And now he's just the silver legacy.
Right. He's the golden nut. He's the four queens.
He's the Imperial Palace of goaltending.
Which is gone. I'm sad.
Exactly.
The Imperial Palace is gone, dude.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, good day, good week. Let's keep the truck rolling here, dude. And we'll be back next week.
Next week.
Hate the show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.